Agriculture is huge in California, but hit hard by the pandemic.
Slightly more than 50% of our food dollars are spent out of the home in restaurants, school cafeterias, hotels, sporting events. That's a sudden loss of a market because of what the economy shift did.
Food and Ag Secretary Karen Ross on what the industry is facing. Just ahead, we dive into that topic and learn how some have turned lemons into lemonade. I'm Randall White. Those discussions just after the news. This is CAP Radio's special coverage on this Wednesday. I'm Randall White. Today's focus of conversation is the topic of agriculture and how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting California's roughly $50 billion ag industry. It's by far the largest in the nation. Like many industries right now, agriculture is feeling the complications of shutdowns and social distancing. California's fruit, vegetable, and dairy farmers are facing losses in the billions of dollars. Karen Ross is the California Secretary of Food and Agriculture. I spoke with her recently and asked her what her biggest concerns are related to the pandemic and the industry she oversees.
For a state like California, where we grow one-third of the vegetables and two-thirds of the fresh fruits and table grapes and tree nuts, the perishability of those products, plus our dairy sector, highly perishable crops, and the suddenness of having to pivot to all retail, as an example, is what caused some of those early headlines that we saw about foods being dumped. We lost 50% of our markets, but food banks had a 73% increase of demand. So being able to align those and keep the food so that it's useful and can go to food banks was job number one. And then on top of that is the huge anxiety and stress of we're essential workers and we're asking our employees to come out every day. And how do we make sure that we're doing all that we can to keep the workforce safe?
Does the state have any social distancing guidelines or rules in place for farms? Because as we know, a lot of those workers go from farm to farm on board buses and shuttles.
California is one of the few states that requires illness training and prevention programs so that we have very specific guidance included in that. One of our biggest challenges was actually the shortage of personal protective equipment. Fortunately, we were able to distribute 4.2 million surgical masks to the county agricultural commissioners 2 weeks ago for distribution to farm workers and ag employers.
Secretary, there's clearly an effort here to try to keep as many farms afloat as possible. Has the state done any estimates in terms of how many farms it expects to see not make it through this pandemic?
You know, we have 70,000 farms in this state. Everything from 2 acres, where the business model is all about just selling to a couple of restaurants and the chefs, to 10,000 acres where most of that product's destined for the export market. So it's really challenging to do those types of projections. The one thing we are expecting, and I hope that we find ways to avoid it, is additional consolidation.
Because of the seasonal nature of crops, I imagine there were areas of the state that were harder hit over the last 2 months. Can you isolate those for us?
Obviously, the dairy sector was hard hit by this because, you know, cows don't know that something's going on. They keep making the milk. They have to be milked. And you send it in to the processors, and they were trying to evaluate how long is this going to happen? Should we start a production line to do retail packaging as opposed to what we've been doing for school lunch programs? So it took a little while to catch up with that. And then there's all the leafy greens. 80% of the leafy greens come from California. And you have a very short period of time to harvest that, get it packaged, and shipped across the country. So those were some of the most immediate hits that we had.
Well, as you heard California's Secretary of Food and Agriculture, Karen Ross, saying right there, the state's dairy industry has been especially hard hit. To get a personal perspective on what it's like to run a dairy farm during the pandemic, let's loop in Rosie Burrows of Burrows Family Farms. Her business is located east of Turlock in the Merced County farmlands between Highway 99 and the Sierra foothills. And Rosie, you run an organic operation and you produce a wide variety of ag products, but your dairy operation, as I understand, is called Full Circle Dairy. We've heard reports of milk being dumped during the pandemic because demand just dropped so quickly. How has your family dealt with that situation?
Well, good afternoon, Randall, and thank you for having me on the program. When the COVID-19 pandemic just started hitting our ag industry, it because we're diversified, it has had a wide range of impacts on all of our farms, as well as all farmers and farm workers, and the whole food supply, as Secretary of Ag Karen Ross has stated. The milk industry was already being hit hard by an oversupply that drove down prices just as this pandemic hit. And as the pandemic continued on lockdown, we experienced the compound problems in the supply chain. Both the dairy industry and meat and the meat industry, beef industry, were affected by the processors, revealing the weak links we had in our food chain and all the vulnerabilities. As you mentioned, the food service, schools, the export markets, they were all shut down and they all hit at the same time, which was a huge blow to the ag industry.
Rosie, did you find yourself having to dump product?
It was because we sell our milk to a processor. We personally didn't, you know, dump our milk, but there has been milk dump across the whole nation. So it's had a huge blow, and the price has dropped significantly, as well as the processing has been overbooked and there isn't room to handle all the milk that needs to be processed. So yes, there's a lot of milk that's being dumped across the nation.
Because you are so diversified, I imagine that helped. Were there any products that seemed to do exceptionally well? And we already know that dairy didn't.
Well, on our almond side of the production, that is a product that's in storage, but I would, and so that we're not in the harvesting part of that moment right now, but that's not to say that it's not going to be affected as we move forward with the export markets being shut down. Yeah. There's huge concern all the way around.
A lot of people have learned many things during this short period of time. A lot of us had to use Zoom, right? So tell me, Rosie, what have you learned during the course of the pandemic as related to a farmer?
My first answer to your question would be that as it hit, we had all the what ifs. So there had to be a plan A, B, and C. And what if, what if, what if? So on the top of our list of what we learned is that our staff are our key part of keeping our link strong and viable. So we wanted to emphasize how labor is so important to the supply chain, as well as keeping the social distancing and their health. But I would like to add to the silver lining that during this pandemic, it's really made it all the more real about our reliance on local farms and the case for curbing climate change to prepare and protect our food supply. It's created new perspectives on how and where food is produced and how these supply chains function. And also about the consolidation and specialization in the agricultural industry that makes our whole food system vulnerable to pandemics and other shocks to the system, like, you know, climate disruptions. These lessons that we're experiencing and learning now as a whole society, really the positive lining is that it's a bearing on how we can ensure food security to face the climate changes that we're going to be faced with for the future coming up.
Put us to the test.
I'd say that as we move into the recovery and we grapple with rebuilding our economy, there's going to be opportunities to invest in the agricultural sector in ways to accomplish many goals, including diversity and improving resilience of our food and farming systems, prioritizing small and medium scale family farms. We've got to look at improving air and water quality and the biodiversity. And most important, protecting and enhancing the health and safety of our farm workers and our communities. We need to stimulate and diversify rural economies and especially incentivize climate smart regenerative farming and ranching practices that reduce greenhouse gas emissions and store carbon in healthy soils and plants.
All right, Rosie, I'm going to have to stop you there, but you had a lot of great thoughts. I appreciate it. That's Rosie Burrows of Burrows Family Farms. Thanks for sharing your pandemic experiences with us today. And we heard Secretary Ross say earlier that California farmers have been able to connect with California-based food banks as a way to make sure their products don't just get thrown away. Food banks have been extremely busy as a record number of people were suddenly without jobs over the past couple of months. And nowhere is that more true than in Nevada, where the unemployment rate topped the nation in April. Nicole Lamboli runs the Food Bank of Northern Nevada. They're based in Sparks, where they've seen increases of 50 to 60% in people needing emergency food assistance. And Nicole, what has sourcing been like during a time when the need has grown so rapidly for you?
Well, good afternoon, Randall, and thank you for having us. Supply chain issues have impacted food banks. We have been purchasing more food than we typically do because our ability to rescue food from grocery stores and other vendors has declined dramatically, obviously, because of the surge in the consumer purchasing. But yes, Nevada is experiencing unprecedented levels of unemployment. And so for us, we have had a strong inventory, but we've had a limited inventory, so we have had to go out into the marketplace and compete like the grocery stores are with the vendors to acquire product for our neighbors in need.
Nicole, how has the relationship been with Nevada's ag industry? I know dairy is also big in Nevada as well. Have you been able to connect on that level and get some of the product that might have otherwise been dumped?
We're not working directly with some of our limited agricultural resources. Obviously, they are selling their product to other industries and businesses in need. But we are talking daily with our Department of Ag in order to make sure that if there is the potential to acquire those items, we will be able to. We haven't seen too many problems in acquisition of dairy yet from our problem. We do have access to dairy, so we are pleased. But there are other dairy products that we could use and that our clients really would rely on. So protein and dairy are necessary items for us to acquire. Produce has been fabulous. We are participating in the USDA's Farmers to Families Food Box program with two vendors, and that's going to provide about 350,000 pounds of mixed produce over the course of the next 6 weeks.
And that's new to you, right?
Yes, that is. That just started last week. We received our first delivery, and then we received another delivery this week. And so we will be distributing about 2,400 boxes weekly to the communities we serve. We cover a 90,000 square mile territory. We even serve some of the eastern slope of the Sierras in California.
Wow. So in just a few seconds, here you have this surge of people that are now using food banks that didn't before, and you have to keep them all separated. That's really changed your distribution methods, has it not?
It has. We've moved to what we call a drive-through model. So most things are packaged, and we just have them open their trunk or the back seat of their car, or even if they're a walk-up, we figure out how to keep that social distancing and hand off that food to them. But we're bracing for a long recovery. For food banks, like what Rosie said, we haven't really changed our mission. We've changed our methods. We were serving 91,000 people who were food insecure. Now those families who were low wage before, many of them are no wage. And so they will need assistance with food resources for probably the next, 12 to 18 months.
All right. Nicole Lamboli, thank you so much. She runs the Food Bank of Northern Nevada in Sparks. Appreciate you taking the time because I know you're busy. During the peak of the stay-at-home orders, many people turned to open-air farmers markets and community-supported ag boxes to fill their produce needs. One less trip to a crowded grocery store. We'll get a little insight into that coming up in just a moment. This is Cap Radio special coverage. I'm Randall White. This is CAP Radio Special Coverage. I'm Randall White. Today's focus of conversation is the topic of agriculture and how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting California's roughly $50 billion ag industry, by far the largest in the United States. We've heard from California's Secretary of Food and Agriculture, a Merced County dairy farmer, and the head of the Food Bank of Northern Nevada. Now we're going to look at the direct-to-consumer model for fresh produce distribution, which has been very popular during the stay-at-home orders. This includes open-air farmers markets and consumer-supported agriculture, or CSA, boxes. This past Sunday, I went to the popular Sacramento farmers market, the one that takes place under Highway 50, and I spoke with Russell Fritz, who runs Smith Family Farms in Northern California. They're based in Linden in San Joaquin County. I asked him if he's seen an uptick in business and also how he's dealing with worker safety.
We've seen an upturn in people that shop at these now because you're outside. At the end of the day, you can sit in line at the grocery store or the Costco, which I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that either. But the farmers markets and the direct market sales, I think people feel a little more comfortable with. It's hard because generally, we could do samples. We're no longer allowed to do samples, and the public really wants to try product. So they really have to trust their farmer. But most of these people have been shopping here for years, so they know the product. For us, they know our name. So it's, we deal a lot with the Sacramento, the co-op here and the Davis Food Co-op. The co-ops for us are where it's at. COVID has been tough with some of the employees because they feel like they can't travel. There's some areas they have to have signed notification that they're allowed to travel. But at the end of the day, these people all work and live together. So this separation, social distancing is very difficult for them. And it's multiple families generally, So it's been tough, but it's farming and we know it's essential. So we just keep going.
That's Russell Fritz. He runs Smith Family Farms out of Linden. We met up with him at the Sunday Farmers Market under the freeway in Sacramento. And I got to say, they make some pretty good pomegranate juice. Finally, today, we're going to take a look at a success story during the stay-at-home orders. When restaurants close, that affects way more than just the cooks and the wait staff that you can see. It's called the front of the house because there are a lot of behind-the-scenes people who are also directly hit. And among those are the people who distribute the ingredients that the chefs use at the restaurants. Produce Express is one of those companies. It was founded by the Boyce family in Sacramento. It's still family-run 36 years later. Jim Boyce III is now in charge and joins us to talk about what the past few months as well as the past few days have been like. And Jim, I want to get to how you flip the focus of your operation so quickly to keep product moving. But first, I have to ask you, you must be extremely busy again right now, given that restaurants are open in Sacramento County and they're, wanting that farm to fork produce.
Yeah, we're finally back up. First off, good afternoon. Thank you for letting us be part of this program.
You bet.
But the last couple of days have actually been very, very good for our company. It is good to see restaurants get back to some normal activity, even though it's still limited. It has a struggle filling orders and getting everything they need. As this pandemic has come about, it's harder and harder getting specialty items. And because we service the restaurant industry, we are entirely driven by the restaurant industry. They require products that there's just not a demand for. So things that were on the shelves 2 months ago are no longer available. There are no longer people harvesting specialty vegetables or, for instance, wild mushrooms. We should be getting morel mushrooms or porcini mushrooms. The foragers don't want to go out and find the mushrooms because there's not enough demand to sustain them going out on a regular basis. So
Jim,
somebody looking for wild mushrooms,
yeah,
can't find them.
Jim, can you give us an example of some of those other specialty products that just aren't available right now?
A lot of herbs, microgreens, which are very popular in restaurants these days. A lot of varietal microgreens. We do business with the company Fresh Origins out of San Diego. We typically stock 40 different varieties of microgreens. We're down to 8. It's just harder and harder to keep those things around because of the demand's just not there. And over the last few days, actually, it started Easter week for us. Easter week, there started to be a little bit more interest in the specialty vegetables and people wanting to do things different. And then this weekend was actually very good. We also service the Tahoe area, and with Tahoe opening some of their restaurants up for local diners anyway, we saw a big demand in that type of clientele and that type of items all of a sudden, just out of the blue. And of course, shelves are empty and we're sent scrambling.
So let's talk about the peak of the stay-at-home orders. Your family decided to shift from its longstanding wholesale model to a direct-to-consumer version. Who came up with that idea?
Well, actually, we used to deliver consumer boxes to restaurants for the public from other various farms. For instance, Del Rio Botanical, which is in Yolo County, used to bring 25, 30 boxes a week to our warehouse. We would take them to a restaurant like Waterboy, and a customer would go to Waterboy and pick up the CSA boxes. They were already prepaid for, and it helped our restaurants because it drove a customer to the restaurant. So hopefully they would buy dinner, pick up their CSA box and go home.
Right.
And we used to help facilitate that with local farmers by taking those boxes to restaurants because a place like Del Rio couldn't afford nor had the time to go door to door. So we became their distribution center. And as this happened, the CSA boxes became in great demand. Typically as the retail was suffering, meaning they couldn't get enough product on their shelves to meet demand.
Right.
And we had a warehouse full of stuff that we couldn't do anything with. We decided to meet it in the middle, but we wanted to do it our way and we wanted to do it first class. And I challenged our sales team, our outside sales team, to come up with a minimum of 10 consumer boxes that hopefully had a local flair to them, but would encompass basically every item we carry in stock that would help relieve our inventory problems as well as help the community in the same regard.
Did the demand surprise you at all?
It surprised us how quickly they took on. We knew that they would be well received. And our first target audience were our existing customers. Mm-hmm. We wanted to help those people in the restaurant industry that had been furloughed, been laid off, or working fewer hours. We wanted to give them the ability to get product without having to go to the store. So we opened it up to our accounts. They could buy a box using the restaurant's account and then repay the restaurant. So that initial wave was surprisingly very good, especially in the outlying areas, the foothills of Sacramento, where retail was even harder because there are fewer stores.
Jim, in just 2 seconds, will you continue with the boxes?
Absolutely.
All right. Jim Boyce III.
We promised.
He runs Produce Express. That's a produce distribution company for restaurants that shifted to direct consumer options during the pandemic. Thank you, Jim. And this has been Cap Radio special coverage. Stick around because in about 5 minutes here on Cap Radio News, I'll be back with a newscast. We'll hear from Sarah Mises-Tan, who visited immigrant-run restaurants in Sacramento's Little Saigon neighborhood to see how they're doing right now. But here is a final thought from California's Secretary of Food and Agriculture, Karen Ross, about how farmers adapt.
I've heard this mostly anecdotally when I'm talking with farmers, but everybody who always had it on their list to design a website and get the platform to do more direct to consumer, they now have the time to do that. And so the adaptability of farmers comes through every day as they adapt to whatever Mother Nature's presenting to them.